John Clayton.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming live at 710sports.com. On demand everywhere on the 710 Seattle Sports app. Now, John Clayton.
Well, you have to admit, these things are really exciting. What's going on with this team? The games are just incredibly high scoring, you know, tense, all those different things. But the team is 3-0, and despite the yards given up, the points given up by defense, this team is at this stage, I think, considered to be the number one seed in the NFC. And now technically, they are number one in the NFC West. San Francisco, of course, 2-1. They lost to Arizona, but were able to get two wins against really bad football teams, the Jets and the Giants. And of course, those games will be on the schedule for all the other three teams in a division. The Rams ended up losing a heartbreaker, 35-32, to the Buffalo Bills. And then you have the unprecedented loss, I guess you could say, with Arizona, considered the most improved team in football, losing at home to Detroit. So at 3-0, the one-game lead right now stands out. And of course, only three losses in this division. But let's get into the five biggest stories of the day.
Number one.
Three receivers right. Prescott is going to look left. He gets hit again. He stumbles. He stays on his feet. Still looks. Throws to the end zone. It's intercepted. The ball is intercepted in the end zone. It's Neal who makes the pick in the end zone. And the Seahawks are going to hold off the Dallas Cowboys. How Dak Prescott was able to stumble away from a sure sack and still throw the ball to the end zone. And Neal, who was just activated today, makes the pick in the end zone, and the Seahawks are going to hold off the Dallas Cowboys. Wow, what a finish. The Seahawks defense steps up when they had to.
Yeah, they did. And Russell Wilson, of course, was the key, as he always is now. And he's off to just an absolute incredible start. You know, he was 27 for 40, 315 yards and five touchdowns. The 14 touchdown passes he's thrown this year is an NFL record for 3 weeks into the season. And then Tyler Lockett was just remarkable. I mean, they had no way to stop him. And of course, you know, the Cowboys were down two cornerbacks or two starters, and so they had so many openings in the middle of the field. Lockett was able to get 9 catches, 100 yards, and 3 touchdowns, so that was huge. And of course, DK Metcalf, and this might have been not a close game had it not been for his bad play, which he was running to the end zone of what would have been a 63-yard touchdown pass, and he slows down almost to celebrate. And coming behind him was Trayvon Diggs, a cornerback, a rookie, who knocked the ball out of his hand and went to the back of the end zone, and so no points were scored there. But then he was able to come back and get the game-winning touchdown pass. So that was huge. Now, of course, as Pete Carroll just talked about, a lot of work has to be done in the secondary to clean things up. You know, that Quentin Dunbar was not able to play. Jamal Adams ended up getting hurt. We'll go over the injuries here in a second. Prescott was 37 for 57, 472 yards and 5 touchdowns, but the Seahawks were able to make the big plays at the right time. They were able to force 3 turnovers, including that Ryan Neal interception in the end zone at the end of the game. They were able to get a safety. So a 38-31 victory, 3-0, and now the team goes to Miami. And what you have to worry about with all the injuries, you know, are they going to be able to have enough energy to be able to win that game? Now, again, it's a very beatable Miami Dolphin team, a team that can struggle on defense and struggle on offense. But it should be a winnable game, but I think it can also be a dangerous game.
Number two.
Can I get updates? Damian Lewis left the game with what looked like an ankle injury?
Yeah. He sprained his ankle. Normal sprain, not a high ankle sprain. He was pretty sore after the game. He has a chance to play. Just to see how he responds to it. For an offensive lineman, he has a better chance than maybe a skill guy would with this injury. So it wasn't real serious, but we'll have to wait and see.
Jamal Adams left with a groin strain. You said it was MRI season. Looked like he was laboring to get around after.
It was really bothering him after the game. He was really bummed out because he wants to play so badly, and you can imagine how important it is to him. But he too had a first degree strain, so we'll see how that goes, and we'll just have to go day by day with that.
Yeah, so I guess the good news is that the bad news is that the injury list is long, but also that just all in the first degree, so that's not too bad. First degree knee for Chris Carson, Jordan Brooks. Now that one's probably going to take a couple weeks because it's an MCL sprain, and those could be anywhere from maybe 2 to 4 weeks, maybe a little bit longer than that. So Jordan Brooks, you're going to have to try to fill in. But boy, I tell you what, KJ Wright was out there for 82 plays. How remarkable is that? And Bobby Wagner was out there for 82 plays. They stayed in nickel most of the time, so that was huge. And of course, 69 plays, I think, in nickel to go against the three receiver set. You know, Jamal Adams has a first degree groin sprain. That's going to be day to day. Damian Lewis, first degree ankle sprain. It's not a high ankle sprain, so he has a chance to come back. You know, Quentin Dunbar, of course, had some swelling in the knee. We'll have to see how that goes. Lano Hill had some back issues. And so the injury list was long. That's the bad news, but it's not season enders or anything like that. I think of the injuries, probably Jordan Brooks might be the one who might miss a couple of weeks, and we'll see how everybody else comes through.
Number three.
For the end zone. Touchdown, Buffalo, Tyler Croft. The Bills have the lead with 15 seconds left.
On first down, they will run it to McKinnon. Bounces free. McKinnon to the end zone. Touchdown, San Francisco. Four-man rush. Jones with pressure throws, and it's intercepted. Fred Warner has the pick. And the 49ers set up with great field position.
Matthew looks, throws, middle of the field, caught, yes. Galladay, touchdown, Detroit Lions. Oh, baby, great to see number 19 back. He went up high and hauled it in. 15 yards on the strike, and the Lions are back on top.
Yeah, go figure. I guess you could say the 49ers team that had the most trouble with injuries, as many as 9 starters that were out, many of them on injured reserve. They had the easiest win against a Giant team. They win 36-9. So they're 2-1. Nick Mullins filling in for Jimmy Garoppolo. Pretty good job. 25 for 36, 343 yards and a touchdown. Then the Rams came back from 25 points down, but they were eventually defeated because Josh Allen threw for 4 touchdown passes and a 35-32 victory that now puts the Rams at 2-1. Then, of course, the Cardinals inadvertently end up losing at the last minute to the Detroit Lions, 26-23. Kyler Murray, 3 interceptions. So all of a sudden, they came back to earth. And so right now, the Seahawks lead the division by 1 game to all 3 of those teams because, you know, Rams were winless, or they were undefeated. Same thing with the Cardinals going into this week. So it was a good day for the Seahawks and the division. And of course, now coming up, they've got the Seahawks play Miami. They play Minnesota on Sunday night. And of course, there was the chance that game could have been flexed out and been an afternoon game. But the league decided, okay, the only thing that they're going to move is a New England game into the 4:25 slot. So it's going to stay a Sunday night game against the Minnesota Vikings.
Number 4.
Swinging, it's lofted deep into center field. Kyle Lewis on the warning track, leaps, it's in, out of his glove, maybe off of his glove. Murphy is in to score. Here comes Kemp. The throw home is cut off by the mound. Kemp slides across. 2 more runs for the A's. Pender into third. Canna strikes again. It's 5-2 Oakland with 1 out in the last of the 7th.
Yeah, so it was a loss, but a 6-2 loss against the A's. But it was pretty impressive that they were able to sweep a doubleheader on Saturday, 2 games. So they went 2-for-4 and finished out the season very respectable. 27-33, that's good for third place in the American League West. And the fact that they were able to go ahead and be only 2 games out of the playoff hunt, nobody expected that. Marco Gonzalez continued to do well, maybe not as well as some of his past starts, but he finishes the season going 5 innings. He gave up 2 runs, struck out 5. And so now all of a sudden with the season over, the Mariners look to go to spring training of 2021. They have a good cornerstone of young players that they're developing. Kyle Lewis, J.P. Crawford, Evan White, and, of course, Ty France and Justin Sheffield. So pretty good season for the M's.
Number 5.
We're looking at this game. Look, you're 21-3 in the regular season as a starter. But of those 3 losses, 2 of them have come to this team with this quarterback. And with this game being on Monday night and everyone knowing that, when you think of it that way, how does that make you feel? Does that add any pressure? Does that add any motivation? Does it do anything for you, or is it just another game to you? How do you look at that?
It's another game. You know, we just playing against the Super Bowl, the former Super Bowl champions now. Just gotta go out there and play like any other game, be prepared, focused, and just do our own assignments. We'll be fine.
So that's Lamar Jackson talking about this great matchup tonight. Kansas City going to Baltimore. And as mentioned, you know, Jackson's only lost three games in the last 19 regular season games he's been out there. So they've been really good, 16-3. In the 18 games, because that game hasn't been played, obviously. So he's 15-3. But nevertheless, Patrick Mahomes has an MVP. Lamar Jackson has an MVP. And so they're off to great starts. Mahomes has thrown for 513 yards, 5 touchdowns, no interceptions. Lamar has 479 yards, 4 touchdowns, no interceptions. That game will start at 5:15 on ESPN. You can listen to the show on the 710 Sports app. It's powered by the Dubin Law Group. Coming up next, we're going to talk about the Seahawk defense and what's going on there. It's the John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
Under Further Review with John Clayton.
We'll review the play.
Well, of course, everybody's reviewing the defense right now. Pete Carroll talked about it, and I guess the one positive thing is that they are getting a little bit more pressure. I think they had 10 pressures in this game. And, of course, Alton Robinson looked real good. L.J. Collier continues to develop. They still have a lot of blitzes. They blitz about 30% of the time to get the pressure. But, of course, being on the field for 82 plays, the one thing that Pete Carroll was critical of was some of the coverage, and that has to start to improve. And, of course, they have gone against three really good quarterbacks. You know, Dak Prescott getting the 57 attempts, 37 completions and all that stuff. And so defense has to be a big thing to work on. And, of course, with all the injuries that are there, it's not going to be easy this week. But nevertheless, I know that was a topic that was very big on Danny and Gallant as they talked about that. And, of course, what to do about the defense.
All right, Brock, the Seahawks defense. Yeah.
Yeah.
What are the issues with the coverage, the lack of pressure? What are we pointing at here?
You know what's interesting, guys, is, and I know Pete, you know, didn't really like some of my comments or commentary, not just mine, but others about the pass rush last week, and you know, kind of made the point about, hey, we had a number of other opportunities. In watching this game back last night, so I kind of watched it at the airport running around, and I came home and just watched it quickly a second time. You realize they hit Dak Prescott 10 times? They had 10 yes. QB hits. I said to you guys before the year, one of my big concerns is they were near the bottom of the league last year with, I think, in the low 60s as for the season when it came to hits. They hit him 10 times. They sacked him 3 times. They took the ball away 3 times. They did enough good stuff, quality stuff. But, man, Pete, and I know you guys are going to talk to him next hour, he's got 3 words that define his defense, and it doesn't matter if it's man or zone. And those 3 words are stay on top. Stay on top. And they couldn't do it. They couldn't do it at safety. They couldn't do it at corner. They couldn't do it at linebacker. They just could not stay on top. And that had to be to him. And I think that's why Bobby was so disappointed after the game, because he knows that that's every single day. That is fundamental. Day one, you walk in the door. And I don't care that you didn't have an off season. They've had enough dudes that have played there. You walk in the door, you see those words every day. It's all about the ball and stay on top and stay on top and stay on top. And to give up big play after big play is the anti-Pete Carroll defense. So I don't think he will, you know, step back from that at all today. I think he will take total ownership. And I really felt bad. That was one of those games, Danny, where you remember when Holmgren would say, oh, bless your heart. Bless your heart for trying. Bless your heart for scrambling. I had a lot of bless your hearts for Trey Flowers yesterday. His confidence is shattered. His game right now is broken. I have not seen a corner play that bad since Harold Simon in the Super Bowl, where you're like, this guy just can't, you know, he can't function right now.
Yeah, and of course, you know, confidence was a little lacking last year, but it seemed to be even more this year as he just really struggled in coverage, and that's got to be fixed up. Now, again, we don't know how the status of Quentin Dunbar is going to be. He had to be a scratch because of the swelling in his knee, and you know, they hope to get him back next week because Dunbar is the starter. But yeah, Trey Flowers, a 2-year starter, just really struggled. And on DJ Wilder, as you look back at this game, again, the coverage – seem to be a problem, and that's something that was supposed to be and it should be the strength of this team. You know, I know that they had good play out of Quentin, DeAndre Hopkins. And I mean, but overall, I have to think right now you've got to get better coverage, because if that's not going to work, you're going to continue to give up way too many points.
That was definitely supposed to be a strength. The secondary was supposed to be able to allow the defensive line to get coverage sacks. Dave Wyman was always making a point about that, especially after the Seahawks acquired Jamal Adams. Like, okay, the number of sacks should go up because they're going to get a lot of coverage sacks, just because the secondary should be able to cover. Now, of course, yeah, like you said, John, they're missing Quentin Dunbar yesterday. That doesn't help, especially after it really seemed like he was coming into his own against New England, you know, with a couple pass breakups and an interception. But Shaquille Griffin had a little bit of a rough game. I think, there's a lot of adjustments that he could probably make. But, I mean, he did come up with a pick yesterday. We've seen him break up a lot of passes, especially last season. So I'm not too worried about him. But I'm more worried about just all these deep passes that they're giving up, like, just through the middle on these medium crossing routes, on these post routes through the middle and everything. And that's what I'm most worried about, John, especially when they're not able to get pressure. I know they got 10 quarterback hits, but Pete Carroll even said it in yesterday's press conference that they need to finish off these sacks. Like, great, we can get hits, we can get pressure, but we need to finish off these sacks. And I think a guy like Alton Robinson, you saw, now granted he was going against a backup left tackle since Tyron Smith couldn't play for the Cowboys, but Alton Robinson showed a lot of promise, a lot of speed off the edge there, and so maybe he can help bolster the pass rush. It seemed to really open things up for someone like Benson Mayo, who before Alton Robinson was able to come back, Benson Mayo really looked like the best pass rusher on the team so far. And he recorded two quarterback hits himself. So someone like Alton Robinson can really help. I know, who knows when Daryl Taylor can come back, but it just keeps coming back to the pass rush, John. I think the pass rush is just not doing a lot of favors for the Seahawks secondary, and that's a problem, because Russell Wilson, as great as he is, and he's the MVP right now, but as great as he is, this isn't sustainable to have him, you know, just trying to put up 38, 40, 45 points every game.
Yeah, but of course, but that's the thing that you can see. That's part of the league right now, as Pete Carroll mentioned, because, again, offenses are way ahead of the defense. I mean, you know, look at the Green Bay Packers. You know, they have to score 37 points to be able to beat New Orleans. And they've had, you know, 43 points in one game, gave up 34 points. Again, defenses right now are struggling, particularly against quarterbacks are pretty good. Now, next week, the tone's down a little bit, presumably, in the sense that they play Ryan Fitzpatrick and the Miami Dolphins. But you're right. It's like, you know, you don't know which Kirk Cousins you're going to get, you know, because his numbers are just atrocious this year. And, you know, it's just not the same without Stephon Diggs. But the defense has to go. But I think, as Pete says, I mean, in time, this should start to fix itself. But right now, it's not fixed. It's broken.
And honestly, it's really only one part of the defense that needs to be fixed, which is the pass defense, because their running defense, they're only giving up 66 yards or 66 rushing yards per game. They've only given up 200 total through three games. So their rushing defense, Pete Carroll said it on the Pete Carroll show just about 20 minutes ago, that their rushing defense has been great. Guys like Brian Monet and Puna Ford in run defense have been fantastic. Jaron Reed contributing too. And they've been phenomenal in that end. So they're really forcing teams to throw more. So, yeah, like Dak Prescott yesterday threw 47 times. Like, you know, Cam Newton was right up there too in pass attempts. So it's a good thing that their run defense has been a lot better than we were expecting, but it's forcing teams to attack their greatest weakness on defense right now, which is a problem.
Oh yeah, no doubt. So they've got to fix that, because that's going to be the big topic again this week. And you know, it's still funny, but you know, as bad as it is on defense, they still have the ability to get double digit leads. But you know, he's trying to defend them against good quarterbacks has been very tough. I mean, to the 1 yard line for Cam Newton, they have to have a pick in the end zone by somebody who was just called up from the practice squad, Ryan Neal, on the last offensive play for the Dallas Cowboys. It's like, that's very tough. But hey, the team is 3-0. Russell Wilson continues to just marvel everybody with his great play. And now it's just, okay, let's get on to the next one. And really, I mean, you can see with all the injuries and everything else, this team really needs to get to that bye week. But if they can get to the bye week at 5-0, and again, they're going to be favored in each of these next two games, that they'll be in decent shape, because they could really use the break. Hey, tell your smart speaker to play 710 ESPN Seattle. Remember, you can always listen to 710 on your smart speaker or app. Coming up next, we're going to talk to Joe Fan from NBC Sports Northwest. John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
It's John Clayton.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines studio.
2 hours every day, 10 to noon.
Streaming live at 710sports.com. On demand on the 710 Seattle Sports app.
And joining us is Joe Fan from NBC Sports Northwest. And tell you what, these games are, they're thrillers. There's no doubt about it. They're long games. They're fun games. But boy, if you're a fan, you got to be scared. You're yelling at the TV set all the time. How do you kind of sum up the first three games for the Seahawks?
Well, it wouldn't be a Seahawks football season without a weekly heart attack induced by the Seahawks. And so that's what you've seen the last couple of weeks. And I think what's crazy, Johnny, we had these conversations last year of is it sustainable for the offense to carry the defense to this degree? And what's insane is that the discrepancy between the two sides of the football for the Seahawks have gotten even more polarizing, where the defense is even more of a liability so far through three games this year than it was last year. And Russell Wilson, somehow, some way, is even better than what he was to open last season. And so, you know, we do continue to have these conversations. I think the defense, especially with the injuries, there's some legitimate cause for concern there. But the offense is a whole lot of fun, and it's the juggernaut we thought it could be going into the season, the second highest scoring offense in football. That's the reason why they're 3-0. And it hasn't been dull, but has been a lot of fun, and it's after 3-0.
What do you think needs to be done now to get the stop giving up the big plays on defense?
Man, that is a million-dollar question, and I think it's shocking that it continues to happen 3 weeks into the season, given who's in the secondary. And you look at this secondary, and yes, the injuries have been a part of it with Marquise Blair out, and Quandre Diggs got ejected in the first quarter of the Patriots game. But at the same time, there's no excuse to be made for the amount of explosives they're giving up. You look at the Cowboys at two different touchdown drives of less than 1 minute, three plays and 75-plus yards. Just unacceptable. You know, that's unacceptable at any level of football, you know, particularly when you have, you know, Pro Bowlers and all pros in your secondary. And so, you know, Shaquille Griffin said last night it's a mixture of busted coverages and guys just getting beat. You know, he admitted that, you know, he's not getting balls thrown his way for a quarter at a time. That, you know, he kind of gets lulled to sleep a bit, and you know, so he was really upset with himself for that 52-yard deep ball he gave up to Michael Gallup. There's a lot of blame to go around, and it's not just the Seahawks on the pass rush, and that's why they're getting burned deep. I mean, it's just guys getting flat out beat, and there are far too many busted coverages, and it's very problematic for the Seahawks.
No doubt. So I did see some improvement on the pass rush, even though, again, as Pete Carroll says now for the second straight week, they've got to do a better job of finishing. They did get 10 pressures on the quarterback. Alton Robinson did a good job. And I think L.J. Collier continues to improve. But still, they've got to finish and get those sacks.
Yeah, and Brian Monet as well continues to be a bright spot for this team. I think what was so telling was, you know, you listen to Bobby Wagner and Shaquille Griffin postgame, and both of those guys were far more somber than celebratory, you know, especially following a big win against the Cowboys, a really good team. You think everyone would be all fired up, and they understand this team is 3-0 despite the play of the defense, not because of the play of the defense. And Bobby Wagner's not used to that, right? He's used to being a part of defenses that are, you know, the catalyst for wins and successful seasons. And so I think there is a lot of soul searching going on within the Seahawks locker room, but you mentioned the pass rush, and there are positives there. And Alton Robinson, you know, it almost seems negligent that he wasn't active for those first two games. I think everyone was confused by that. And then he goes out and plays well, and you're saying, what the heck? This guy had a great camp. The team needs pass rushers. Why isn't Alton Robinson on the field? And, you know, he showed you yesterday that he is very capable, and it really was a nice find in the fifth round for the Seahawks. And in the absence of Bruce Irvin and Darrell Taylor, they're going to need him, you know, for the foreseeable future. So, it was good to see that from him. It was good to see Jaron Reed get a sack. He'd been quiet through the first couple of games. We had some nice moments on Sunday against the Cowboys. So there were some bright spots in the defensive line. But when you're giving up as many yards as you are, you know, it's hard to feel too good about those silver linings.
Yeah, no doubt. Now, of course, the offense, that's a different story. I thought it was perfect for both Brian Schottenheimer and also Russell Wilson to have DK Metcalf involved in the game-winning play when he did a Leon Lett type moment, and having, you know, holding the ball to a point where he could be knocked out of his hand and not get a touchdown on a 63-yard pass.
It's always nice when gaffes like that can be teachable moments and hard lessons to be learned because you've won. and you can use it as such. But if you lose that game, I mean, that sickness in your stomach from a play like that would be really hard to get past. You know, I mean, almost, I don't mean to bring up the Super Bowl just for no reason, but to that level of, like, it just sits with you of how could that possibly have happened. And so, you know, it is very nice. EK came through, made the big play. Pass protection was unbelievable on that final touchdown. They've been really, you know, solid for Russ up front. And it's a big reason why the Seahawks passing offense has been so good. And yeah, give credit to Skybox shotting. He's dialed in right now. And, you know, as good as Russ has been with all the deep balls and, you know, the scramble drill and all that, I mean, Shoddy is screaming guys wide open. Tyler Lockett was running wide open on his first touchdown, splitting the defense down the middle of the field on the deep post. He was also wide open on a couple of the goal line plays. Jacob Hollister getting schemed wide open. And that's not by accident. So, you know, he said he's seeing the field really, really well from up there. And it's definitely manifesting itself in terms of the explosive plays you're seeing from the offense through 3 weeks.
No doubt. What thoughts do you have now as far as some of these injuries? Because they have a long list of injuries. I guess the good news, except for the MCL sprain that Jordan Brooks has, there's a chance that they could come back. But you have to kind of wonder. They're all first degree type sprains and injuries and stuff like that. But there's going to be a lot of guys missing a lot of practice time this week.
Yeah, the injury report this week of practice is going to be extensive. And it does seem like mostly good news when it looked like a couple of those injuries could have been real bad, right? I mean, Chris Carson avoids a worst-case scenario, and it's a knee sprain. Jamal Adams, day-to-day with a groin strain, could have been so much worse. So whether they play against the Dolphins, who knows? Or even if they don't play against the Vikings, who knows? But you have that bye week in week 6, and you hope that you can get healthy a little bit during that time to come back in week 7 and hopefully have, you know, as close to, be as close to full strength as possible.
No doubt. So, which injuries do you think you're most concerned about?
I think Adams is huge. You know, I think he's been susceptible in pass coverage, but there's, you know, it's hard to deny he's been the team's best pass rusher through 3 weeks. And so, you know, missing him would be really significant. I think Chris Carson, very significant. And then you look at Damian Lewis. I think Jordan Simmons came in and did a really nice job. Him and Jamarco Jones filling the gaps, with him out. But, you know, Damian Lewis has been a really nice bright spot early on for this team this season. And so, getting him back in the lineup as soon as possible will be crucial.
Yeah, no doubt. What were your thoughts as far as the offensive line play despite the injury to Damian Lewis?
You also want to throw in Quentin Dunbar. His knee injury, I think, is troublesome. And I think you saw on Sunday that Trey Flowers still very much having problems in year 3, that the Seahawks were hoping he would have made bigger strides forward. As far as the offensive line, your pass protection has been fantastic. In the top half of the league in terms of pass block win rate, and you've seen that. And, you know, keeping Dwayne Brown healthy is so crucial. And Mikey Iupati has had a fantastic start to the season so far. And we mentioned Damian Lewis. Brandon Schell, I think, has had moments where, you know, he's been really solid. I think he had a really nice second half against Alden Smith yesterday. And then, you know, the final one obviously is Ethan Posich. And again, another guy who's had his ups and downs. Sounds like he played through a knee injury against the Cowboys as well. But, you know, it's been a nice find. And, you know, I don't think they were expecting him to start when they gave, B.J. Finney $4.5 million guaranteed. But here we are, and Ethan Posich is the guy. And so kind of a late bloomer, and you can go back and say, all right, that draft, that second-round pick might not be as poorly spent as many wanted to believe it was, you know, to this point. So good for him making the most of his opportunity. But I think it is fair to say the offensive line has taken a significant step forward this year compared to a year ago.
No doubt. What were your thoughts of Dallas Cowboys?
They just can't get out of their own way. I mean, it's wild. You look at the game against the Falcons, what was it, 4 or 5 turnovers in the first quarter alone. And then yesterday you look at the muffed field goal, or the muffed kickoff that leads to, you know, them starting on their own 1 yard line. And the next play is a safety. You have, 5 or 6 different defensive penalties in the secondary that keep Seahawks drives alive. The turnover at the end of the half, the turnover at the beginning of the second half, all those things, good plays by the Seahawks in some respects. But, you know, if you're a Cowboys fan, you're looking at that saying, man, it's completely avoidable. And this team continues to shoot itself in the foot, and they still had a fourth quarter lead somehow. And so the team is absolutely loaded. The benefit to them is that their division is absolutely horrific, and they could probably go 7-9 and win the division, given how bad the Eagles, Washington football team and Giants are. But, they certainly don't look like a Super Bowl contender just yet.
No, they really don't. And, I tell you what, I mean, I guess that's the advantage because, I'm a big schedule guy. And, the advantage right now for the teams in the NFC West is the fact that you're playing the NFC East, which is, I think, 0-5 right now. 0-4 against the NFC West, and you're playing the AFC East, which really they've got New England already out of the way. Buffalo's going to be a challenge being on the road, but there's a good chance that the non-division record for the Seahawks can be really good.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, you look at the Miami game, and I don't think it's a game you can overlook. I think Ryan Fitzpatrick's playing really good football, but it's still a game you should win. The Jets should be the easiest game on the schedule all year, and you get them at home. Then you look at the toughest game or one of the toughest games left on your schedule with that Bills game. But, yeah, like you said, if you can go 7-1 in those games against the East divisions, you're looking at you're going to put yourself in a really good spot. And then ultimately it comes down to who's going to win the wild card spots and who's going to win the division. That's all based on the interdivisional play. The Seahawks will get there soon enough.
No doubt about it. What do you got on the podcast and everything else on NBC Sports Northwest?
Yep, drops tomorrow morning with Adam Lefko of Bleacher Report. Good dude, always has fun insight. Looking forward to chatting with him. And then also going to start doing weekly power rankings. We'll put those out tomorrow morning as well.
Okay, Joe Fan, hey, thank you so much. And get ready for the Miami Dolphin game, which, of course, we'll all be here in Seattle, not going to Miami.
I know, it's weird times, but you know what? Thankfully, we got football to talk about regardless, so we'll take it.
That sounds good to me. Okay, so Joe, thank you so much. And, of course, be sure to check out the Professor's Notes on 710sports.com. The Professor's Notes are brought to you by Infinity of Tacoma at Fife. Coming up next, we are going to go behind the lines and check out what happened yesterday in the National Football League and what might be happening today. It's the John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
John Clayton,
powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
On demand with the 710 Seattle Sports app.
Well, of course, I mean, it was a wild Sunday football, as, of course, some upsets, some surprises and all that. And, of course, still kind of amazed at the fact that the 49ers have the benefit of going to MetLife Stadium and coming out with two easy wins against two bad teams, the New York Giants and the New York Jets. But I was surprised that, we expected a good game between the Rams and the Buffalo Bills, but also I didn't expect that to be such a high-scoring game, 35-32. You know, here was the Rams coming back from a 25-point deficit, 28-3, and then the Bills had to, go ahead and make the comeback toward the end of the game, and then it was a close loss by 3 points to the Arizona Cardinals. But out of all that, the Seahawks come out with a 3-0 record and a one-game lead in this crazy division that's right now, that good chance to be theirs, DJ.
Are the Bills good, John? Because we've seen them, who they played. They played the Jets
and Miami.
And then they almost blew it to the Rams, who look really good so far, by the way. I thought they were going to be in last place in this division. They look like they're the second-best team in this division right now. It's kind of a tie between them and Arizona. But are the Bills good, John?
Yes, they are. Well, because, again, their defense, I was surprised, gave up 32 points because they're better than that. But I think the big thing is we're seeing the improvement of Josh Rosen. Certainly of Josh Allen, because Josh Allen, he's among the league leaders right now in passing yards. And, of course, he did it against the Dolphins and Jets, but he did it against the Rams defense that did very well. And so in the first two games. And so I think he's now proving, he is the, he's one of the best quarterbacks from that 2018 draft. I mean, he really did well. And, that was one of the questions that was there. I think he's moved ahead of Baker Mayfield. He's moved ahead of some of the other quarterbacks. I think he's looking good because in his first couple years, he was only getting 19.2 points per game on offense. Now he's getting over 28-30. And so he now proved in this game against the Rams, he is for real.
Especially standing in there against Aaron Donald yesterday. Aaron Donald had 2 sacks, 3 quarterback hits. We can expect that from Aaron Donald on any given Sunday. But Josh Allen, the problem with him not a problem, but a tendency with him last year was like he just wanted to always scramble, it seemed like. And he was always looking to run rather than pass. And yesterday, again, against a defensive line that's led by Aaron Donald, he only had 4 carries for 8 yards, but he stood in there, threw for 311 yards, 4 touchdowns. Josh Allen looks really improved. But yeah, John, I think even with the Rams coming back and scoring all those points in a frenzy against a really good Bills defense, the Rams look really good. And I got to say, the 49ers, I was wrong. I thought the 49ers were going to kind of bottom out here a little bit just because of injuries, not because of a lack of talent or anything. The lack of talent was just because of the injuries. The 49ers, I know it's just the Giants, but putting 36 on the Giants with all these injuries just across the board on both sides of the ball, the 49ers, they're still good, John.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. And, you know, they were able to get the running game going. And here's Nick Mullins. Nick Mullins is, I think, a better backup quarterback that people want to give him credit for. But, again, I don't know how much stock you do put in these two wins, but at least they're not collapsing, and they got a 27-point victory.
Yeah, and then hopefully they'll start getting some weapons back, as in George Kittle. I think that will really help, especially because Jordan Reed looked like he went down with another injury, which is so unfortunate because he just really hasn't been able to be on the field the last 3 years, and he looked really good last week against the Jets. So that's really unfortunate. But now next up for 49ers, I mean, they're taking on the Eagles team that just, I mean, they just don't look good, John. Like, the Eagles should be so much better than this. And I think the 49ers could really get 2 more wins here, and by the time they play the Rams on October 18th on a Sunday Night Football, they might have mostly everybody back, and they'll be ready to go. And so, again, I was wrong. I thought they were going to bottom out here a little bit. But, John, just to stay in the NFC West here, what did you take away from the Cardinals losing to a Lions team that not only was just winless this year at 0-2, they had lost 11 straight games dating back to last season?
Bad game by Kyler Murray. I mean, 3 interceptions. I mean, that I think stands out because, like Pete Carroll always says, I mean, if you win the turnover battle, you win the game. And even though Matthew Stafford continues to struggle and not do all that well, you know, they were able to go into Arizona and get the picks. And of course, this is a Detroit team that had 4 consecutive games where they trailed by double-digit and lost. And so, and of course, Matt Patricia's job is on the line. He saved it a little bit, but yeah, I just think too many mistakes.
I mean, they are, even though they lost to this Lions team that hasn't looked good in the first 2 weeks, the Cardinals are still, to me, they have to be a force to still be reckoned with, right, John?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. No, I think so, because, again, they're, although it may not show it as much yesterday, but they're a little bit better on defense than I ever thought they were going to be. I still think they could be the most improved team in football, so that can be encouraging. But overall, that's a team right now that's going to be good. I mean, one thing is, this league, I mean, this right now, this division is going to be supplemented by the schedule. And again, it's like, okay, that's a winnable game because, you know, what you had, that was a non-common game that they had, and you figure you're playing Detroit coming into the game winless, you should win that one, and to lose it, you know, that sets you back because now you still have to play, you know, the tough teams like Buffalo, the tough teams like New England and all that. So that was a big loss for them. What do you think of the Sunday night game between Green Bay and New Orleans where Aaron Rodgers just continues to dazzle?
Aaron Rodgers is on a total revenge tour right now, John. And who knows if it was caused by the Packers drafting Jordan Love. That's what a lot of people are throwing around. Or maybe Aaron Rodgers is just tired of hearing people say, you know what, even though we won 13 games last year, and no one wanted to, you know, give that any sort of validation, like, watch this. And he's been fantastic. Like, he looks like the Aaron Rodgers that was winning MVPs, especially the season when the Packers went 15-1 the year after they won the Super Bowl. That's what he looks like right now. Drew Brees, though, he looked a little bit better than he did on Monday night. We were talking about this a little bit last week after they lost to the Raiders on Monday Night Football in Week 2. 29-36 for 288 yards and 3 touchdowns. Did he look a little bit better to you, John? Because to me, he did look a little bit better, Drew Brees of like last year or 2 years ago.
Yeah, because at least he tried to get the ball downfield, which, of course, it's tougher without Michael Thomas. But I wonder how much of that is the Packers' defense, because the Packers' defense has been very vulnerable.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like to me, if they don't get any sort of pass rush, which they usually do with the Smith brothers, you know, Preston Smith and Za'Darius Smith, It seems like to me, though, it's really pass rush or bust for the Packers. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure about their secondary outside of Jaire Alexander, because Kevin King has been really struggling the last two seasons. I'm not sure about the Packers defense unless they're getting true pressure on the quarterback. And even Drew Brees, like we were kind of criticizing him last week, he was able to kind of tear them apart a little bit last night, even though you know, he still took him 36 attempts to get 288 yards. Someone like Drew Brees, he's still tearing up that defense when they weren't really getting pressure on him. So that's, I think, a thing to watch with the Packers, even though right now, to me, they look like the best team in the NFC. The Seahawks might be right up there, but right now the Packers, to me, they might be the best NFC team at this moment.
Yeah, but of course, their struggles on defense have been pretty noted, because look at all the points that they've given up, and particularly, I mean, 30 points. Again, so much of it your opposition and all that, and you know, they gave up 34 points to a Minnesota team that really is struggling, and so that didn't look too good, but nevertheless, it's like, oh, it's off to a good start, and again, you have to kind of look at Aaron Rodgers and say, yeah, he's kind of on a mission right now.
He especially after he went out, because it seems like when the 49ers first got up double digits on them in the NFC championship, it seemed like he quit. It really seemed like he was just kind of over it, and I think a lot of people saw that. A lot of people were criticizing him for it, which to me, that's fair criticism, especially when you're a franchise quarterback, one of the greatest quarterbacks ever. You can't just be rolling over, just giving up in the first quarter in the NFC Championship when you have a real shot to beat the 49ers. But he looks so good, John. And honestly, I'm looking at their next three games, and next four games, really, they could definitely start out 7-0 here.
Yeah, they very well could. Hey, want to get your reaction to yesterday's game? Talk about the defense, talk about the offense. Give us a call at 866-979-3776, 206-421-3776. It's the John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.